Here we go. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, June the 26th, in the year of our Lord, 2024. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and what we're going to take a look at is one of the readings for Proper 8, namely June the 30th, 2024. We're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. So here we go. It begins, Paul's writing to the Corinthians. Fellow Christians, we want you to know what God's grace has done in the churches of Corinthians. While they were severely tested by trouble, their overflowing joy and their deep poverty have yielded a richly overflowing generosity. So Paul is really complimenting the church. This is similar to congregations we have today in the United States. Many of the members are severely tested by trouble. But then when they hear the sermons and they read their Bible, it results in an overflowing joy and a richly overflowing generosity. Paul says, I assure you, they have given all they could. Yes, more than they could give. Of their own free will and with much pleading, they begged us for the privilege of sharing in the help given the holy people. You see, there was real poverty in Jerusalem because of the attacks of the Pharisees, who were unbelievers. And so Paul was looking for financial aid for the people in Jerusalem. And he was saying that the Corinthians have given a collection beyond what was expected of them to help the holy people. He says in verse 3, they did more than we expected. They gave themselves to the Lord first and then to us, doing just what God wanted. Now he says they did it of their own free will. We need to look at that phrase a little bit. Remember, when you are an unbeliever, you don't have free will. Your will is captured by the devil, and all the works you do are never sufficient for your salvation. But when you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, you receive also the gift of faith. And therefore, you begin to do what God wants you to do. And you do it out of your own free will. So when they heard of the sacrifices that the Christians in Jerusalem were doing, they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us, doing just what God wanted. Paul says in verse 6, this led us to urge Titus, as he had started it, to finish in you too this work of God's kindness. So Paul urged Titus to help them out. As you are rich in everything, in faith, speech, knowledge, every kind of zeal, and in the love which you have toward us. We want you also to be rich in this work of God's kindness. Now, I'm part of Concordia Mission Society, which is a mission work in Asia, specifically in Russia, Kyrgyzstan, Kazakhstan. We have been doing this for years. And, for example, they have a seminary in Novosibirsk that really needed funding. Concordia Mission Society, through its people, were able to send them $200,000. And we have additional money that has come in to send to them. This is a seminary of Lutherans helping new pastors in preaching the gospel. I was there, in fact, for a couple of months, and I attended their Sunday services, which were filled with people. And it was very interesting how they would worship. For example, when the Lord's Supper was being passed out, everyone stood, not just when you received it, but during the whole ceremony. Also, at the end of the sermon, the pastor asked them to think what he had said, and a few minutes was given to the congregation to ponder the lessons of the sermon. Paul says to the Corinthians in verse 8, I'm not ordering you, but testing you by the zeal of others to see how genuine your love is. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. He was rich, but became poor for you to make you rich by his poverty. What are they talking about? Well, the poverty is that he died on the cross. He was all alone. And he did that because he loved the people of God. And so Paul is saying, I'm not ordering you to help take care of others, but you are being tested to see how genuine your love is. And notice he ties it in immediately to the grace of Jesus Christ. Because he was rich, he was in heaven, but he came to earth, was incarnated as a human being, and became poor in order for you to become rich by his poverty. How are we rich? Because we have received the greatest gift that could ever be given to us, the gift of the forgiveness of sins. Verse 10. I'm telling you what I think you should do about this, because it is best for you. Last year, you were the first not only to do something, but to want to do something. Now finish the job. You are eager to undertake it. In the same way, finish it as well as you can. If you are eager to give God, God accepts it according to what you have, not according to what you don't have. So God is pleased with the gifts that the Corinthians are given to help other Christians. Verse 13. We don't mean to bring relief to others and hardship to you, but to be fair. Right now, what you don't need should relieve their need to that what they will not need. And so it will be fair, as it is written, anyone who gathered much didn't have too much, and anyone who gathered little didn't have too little. That is quoting Exodus 16, verse 18. So Paul says, we thank God for making Titus just as eager to help you as I am. He welcomed my request. He's very eager and is, by his own choice, coming to you. We're sending with him the fellow Christian whom all the churches praise for telling the good news. More than that, the churches appointed him to travel with us in this work of God's kindness, and we're doing to honor the Lord and to show we're willing to help. We're trying to avoid any criticism of the way we're handling this generous gift. We instead and intend to do what is right, not only before the Lord, but also before other people. It's a wonderful word. We are also sending with them our fellow Christian, whom we have often tested in many ways and found zealous, now more eager than ever, because he has so much confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you, and our fellow Christians, the messengers of the churches, are the glory of Christ. Show the churches how you love them and how right we are when we boasted to them about you. So this is a wonderful passage in 2 Corinthians about how Paul is welcoming the help from the Corinthian church to help those who are in poverty in Jerusalem. And he's not ordering them to do that. He is giving them kind of advice from the Holy Spirit as to what they can do. That's a wonderful passage. And many churches in the United States are like this. We have a lot of churches who have mission goals. They may choose to help out churches overseas. They at times even send members of the congregation overseas to share the message of the gospel with those who are in the darkness of unbelief. That's the good news. Another reading found for Proper 8 is the Old Testament reading, Lamentations chapter 2. Here Jeremiah is talking about how we can find hope in God. He says in verse 21, "But I recall one thing, and so find hope. The Lord is gracious. We're not completely wiped out because his mercies haven't come to an end." See, there are many Christians who feel they're wiped out. A lot of times, they wonder about their sins. Are they good enough to get to heaven? Well, the answer is no. But God is good enough. He is gracious enough. He is merciful enough to take them to heaven. And that's because he does not hold you accountable for your sins. His mercies have not come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I can say, the Lord is my portion. That's why I find hope in him. The Lord is good to those who have confidence in him, to anyone who seeks him. Now that's Old Testament, Lamentations 3, verse 25. But it sure fits with the New Testament, Romans 8, 28, that all things work together for good to those who love God. That's a promise. Nothing happens in your life that God does not work it out for your good. And that's why we can have confidence in him. To have confidence in the Lord means that we will trust the Lord. Verse 26, "It is good to hope quietly for the Lord to save us." So, are you a Christian who's going through a troubling time in your life? Maybe it's an accident. Maybe it's some kind of suffering, sickness, the death of a loved one. Well, you are to hope quietly for the Lord to bring you salvation. That occurs a lot of times in worship, particularly in a proper Christian funeral. Verse 27, "It is good for a man to carry a yoke when he's young. He should sit alone and quietly because the Lord has laid it on him." This reminds us of the passage of the Beatitude. "Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And so we sit alone quietly because the Lord has laid some suffering on us. He should put his face in the dust. There may still be hope. He should offer his cheek to him who strikes him and take his fill of insults, because the Lord will not reject him forever. That's really a hopeful thing that Christians find today. We're insulted because of the work of the world against us. They don't like our morality. They don't like our teachings. They laugh when we talk about the importance of the cross. But therefore, we take our fill of insults because we know the Lord will not reject us forever. Verse 32. Even if he makes us suffer, he will be merciful. He's very kind. Even if that suffering ends up in death. For example, look how many people died on the Titanic. But many of them, when they drowned, their spirits were taken immediately to heaven. That is the wonderful good news, that God took care of them. Therefore, yes, he made them suffer, but he will be merciful. The suffering is not given on account of their sins, because he has forgiven them. Verse 33, he does not want to hurt anyone or make people suffer. 34, the Lord is not happy to see any prisoner on earth crushed underfoot, or a man cheated of his rights in the presence of the Most High God, or anyone treated unjustly in court. That's the attitude of the Holy Trinity. He does not want to see people suffer. He isn't happy to see people crushed underfoot. Verse 37. Who can command and have it happen if the Lord hasn't ordered it? In other words, you will be kept safe. You will be comforted, because that is what the Lord has commanded. But your suffering or unjust situation will not stop because of your orders. That's why we wait quietly in hope. That's where we find our comfort, hoping that God will keep his promise, which he will. Verse 38. Doesn't the Most High God order everything to happen, both happiness and calamity? Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that when you wake up in the morning, you may be able to get out of bed, walk around, eat breakfast, go to work, come home. But some people are unable to do that. They may be paralyzed, or they may have suffering. The Lord has ordered that. He's ordered both happiness and calamity. Verse 39. Why should any man, any mortal alone, complain about being punished for sins? See, that happened when Elijah went to the widow who continued to feed him. And then remember, her son died, and she blamed Elijah, and she blamed herself because of her sins. But no, God doesn't punish us for sins, in the sense that that's how we get to heaven. Instead, God allows us to receive the consequences of our sins, but that doesn't save us. What saves us are the consequences of Jesus' work on the cross. So verse 40 says, let us search out and test our ways and turn back to the Lord. That's the message of John the Baptizer. Remember, he had that baptism of repentance. And repentance means to turn back to the Lord. Verse 41. Let us raise our hearts with our hands to God in heaven. That is an act of worship. And we worship God even in the midst of our sufferings or whatever ails us, because God promises to take care of us. He never leaves us. And that's why Lamentations 3 teaches about finding hope in God, not because of our obedience to the law, but because of Jesus' obedience at the cross. Tune in tomorrow for more on Law and Gospel. God bless you.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday morning at 9:30 on KFUO. For a tax-deductible gift to Law and Gospel, please make your check out to Law and Gospel and mail to Law and Gospel, P.O. Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132, or call toll-free 1-877-267-1962.
Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.